From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. In the Middle East today, a fragile truce. Israeli forces and the Hamas militants who control the Gaza Strip have agreed to a ceasefire. The deal was worked out during months of indirect talks mediated by the Egyptian government. People on both sides are already voicing skepticism the truce will hold. For now, though, Israelis are glad to see a pause in near-daily rocket fire from Gaza, and Palestinians are hoping it will lead to an easing of crippling economic sanctions. From Gaza, NPR's Eric Westervelt reports.
The first day of the Gaza truce meant little to Omran Kalloub. The truce took effect at 6 a.m., about the same time people, as usual, began lining up with their rundown cars outside the gas station he manages in Gaza City.
We cannot see anything new, nothing. The situation is the same, nothing's changed.
But ordinary Gazans hope to see changes soon. If the truce holds, they're eager to see an easing of sanctions and an influx of basic goods that have grown scarce and expensive. Cooking fuel, some food items, petrol for cars, and more. Huge swaths of this coastal territory go 8 to 10 hours a day without power. Everything from fresh milk to bottled water is in short supply. Jamal Al-Okaili waited in line for fuel, pessimistic the calm will lead to an improvement in his daily life.
No Palestinian believes that the calm will last. Maybe for a few days, few months, but we're used to the Israelis breaking their promises. We know they don't want to see us comfortable.
Israelis, for their part, are deeply skeptical Hamas will keep its word and control its militants and the other armed factions that have rained homemade rockets and mortar rounds down on nearby Israeli towns and farms for much of the last year. Last night, Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert said the calm is fragile and likely to be short-lived. He said the Israeli military is preparing for a wider operation should the truce collapse. Hamas's armed wing, the Qassam Brigades, issued a threat today, saying it's abiding by the truce, but ready to attack and, quote, shake the Zionist entity if it does not abide by the truce. Abu Yunus, a fishmonger in Gaza's beach refugee camp, says all that is bluster. People here are simply beat, he says, from the violence and the blockade.
The people are very tired and exhausted. Our leaders don't want to see us this way.
Both Israel and Hamas had strong reasons to embrace the Egyptian brokered truce. Israel's military attacks were not able to stop the near-daily rocket fire from Gaza. In agreeing to the truce, Hamas, for its part, acknowledges the enormous strain sanctions have placed on the group and on the 1.5 million people who live in Gaza. Mahmoud Zahar, a senior Hamas leader here, acknowledged those realities today, calling the truce a pragmatic move by both sides.
It is not an optimistic or pessimistic. We are speaking about practical agenda. Israel is in urgent need for this ceasefire. Palestinian also in urgent need for this ceasefire.
Zahar said the Gaza government's top priority now is, in his words, to start to rebuild all that the Israelis have destroyed. Zahar also insisted that the case of captured Israeli soldier Gilad Shalit is completely separate from the truce. But Zahar confirmed that indirect talks through Egypt with Israel on exchanging Hamas prisoners for the soldier would continue as early as next week. Hamas has maintained its firm grip on power and remained popular here since it seized control from rival Fatah a year ago. But life for ordinary Gazans has only gotten worse. Jihad Hamed, an independent analyst here, says there's an outside chance the truce, if it holds, could prompt Hamas to eventually recognize Israel. And perhaps Israel and the West, Hamad says, will now start to realize they have to deal with Hamas.
I think the how to break the cycle of violence between the Hamas and Israel, both sides, they have to recognize each other. They have to sit on the table. The international community, they have to come to a conclusion. We cannot neglect this political faction, it's called Hamas.
The truce comes as Israel pursues indirect peace talks with another longtime foe, Syria. And the Israeli government this week also voiced a desire to start direct peace talks with Lebanon. And there's word of a possible prisoner exchange soon with the Lebanese militant group Hezbollah. All this as Israel's prime minister faces a major ongoing corruption investigation. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, Gaza City.